This morning it's called A Father's Love, and this will be out of Mark's Gospel, chapter 12. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, and beginning in verse 28, the Bible says, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first commandment of all is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' So the scribes said to Jesus, 'Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' But after that, no one dared question Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we're grateful this morning for your word and the blessing. I pray, Lord, that you would guide this Bible study, that your Holy Spirit would open up our hearts to understand how great your love is for each of us individually. Right away, we confess, all of us, we failed at loving you and loving others perfectly. We need, God, you. We need your help and encouragement. I also pray that as we leave here today, your Spirit, Lord, would help us to become bolder in our love to you and towards others. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As you see, this morning's study, A Father's Love, and it's part of our series through the Gospel of Mark called Run Your Best Race and Finish Strong. And you can receive the daily emails by going to our website. This morning, as we're looking here at this study, and it's about loving God and loving others, so I'll make it as personal as I can. And I thank God for the worship songs that we were able to share together, because it is the love of God that draws us to a relationship with God. It's his love for us that helps us understand love. In the picture above, as I mentioned, it is personal. You'll see a picture with myself and my father. This is when I was in second grade. It's when I made my first Holy Communion. The little book in my hand I still have. The name on the cover of the book is Jesus. It was in second grade that there was a stirring in my heart to want to honor God with my life. There would be so much I'd need to learn about God, but that was resident in my heart. And I was so glad to have this picture and to have my dad standing next to me and his hand on my shoulder. Because the picture below that, you'll see it's opposite. I'm standing next to my dad with my hand on his shoulders. Just a couple years ago, I was visiting him in Southern California. He was in a care facility. I was with my wife and daughter, but I knew this would be my last visit to him. It wasn't as though they needed to call 911 at that time. It's the fact that I lived here, and he lived in Southern California with my family. And I knelt before him and prayed with him and spoke about the things of heaven and eternity and affirmed to him my thankfulness and my love that he showed towards me growing up. The unique thing was that I learned from my dad, and I'm still trying to incorporate it in my life. He had a very unique way, along with my mother, to love all nine of us children so uniquely that each one of us thought that we were dad's pet. And we fight still to this day on who thinks they're dad's pet. But you know, the truth is, that's what love will do. And truthfully, I try as best as I can through the grace of God to love each of you with that kind of love, with godly love that you would understand regarding our relationship how special and how unique it is. And you are to God, and you are to this fellowship. But it takes a work of God. And then it wasn't just a couple of months later that I was standing as the final salute. That is a very hard thing to do. So my brothers and sisters and my mom were there. But as they're coming by, since he was a World War II soldier, and since he was on the Los Angeles Police Department for 30 years, that was his career, there are actually two flags that were given to him at the National Cemetery where he was buried. And the other picture, and some of you already know this picture, but it's the first picture that we ever took without Dad in it, the first family picture without Dad in it. And it's a very strange thing. What we're talking about is the Father's love. And there's an influence of an earthly father to our lives. And we don't live in a perfect world. And I understand that there's been absence of that. But I believe that a healthy fellowship, and I would want to believe that ours is a healthy fellowship, but I believe that a healthy fellowship will have the dynamics of this kind of love. A healthy fellowship in the absence of maybe a family that does not have mom and dad in place, or they're not in an affirming sort of a way. A healthy ministry will bring that affirmation, never taking the place, but that dynamic, that love, that affirmation. That's what discipleship does. Discipleship is coming along somebody else and walking with them and building them up in the love of God. So when we're looking at our text that we read this morning, verses 28 through 34, there has been a sequence of, of questions that have been asked. In the sequence of questions, they've asked Jesus and challenged him about what he thought about taxation and how did that fit in. And Jesus says, well, whose image is on you? I mean, if the image of God is on you, then you give yourself to God. And then they came and they were wondering, you know, about this commandment. Before that, they're wondering about the resurrection and what that will be like, even though they did not believe in the resurrection. In your bulletin this morning, it actually says Victor's bringing this message. We just forgot to replace it. So I was so blessed by Victor's message last week. Were you? If you did not hear it, catch it online or pick up a CD. Again, the sequence is as the rich young ruler. I never think of it the same way anymore. I mean, this whole week I've been thinking about the rich young lowrider. But anyways, because he told me how he got off the camel. Shalom, shalom. It was a blessing. Good job. You know, and that's a tribute to the fellowship. Because again, a healthy church is going to see God raise up other men and women leading, teaching, and helping. So when we're looking here this morning, and we're seeing that a father's love, the right question has to be asked, and then we have to receive the right answer and want to do the right thing. So in these verses, that's what I see. A very important question is going to be asked. A very important answer is going to be given. And then, are they going to respond to that? Or am I going to respond to that? Remember, he didn't respond publicly. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, you're very close to the kingdom of God. Listen very carefully. You can be 1 inch from the kingdom of God, listen, and spend eternity in hell. Because you're close to the kingdom of God doesn't mean you're in the kingdom of God. The Lord is bringing forth the word. It's urgent. It is the time. So we're talking about love. We're talking about a father's love. We're going to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We can almost have a cheerleading section. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what we're talking about. Let's move a little bit further here. Okay. So they're asking this question. The rabbis, they held that the law contained 613 precepts, not in the Bible, but that's what they had. So they had all these precepts, and they're wondering. Now, I have a dictionary on my iPad. This is a picture of what I looked up. And this particular app, which I don't like to pay for any app, but I paid about $10 because I need a good dictionary when studying. And this is a good dictionary. So I want the truth about love, don't you? I want the truth about love. I believe the Bible to be inerrant. that's truthful. There's no mistakes. Do you follow me right now? So I thought, you know what? Just for fun, I'm going to look up the word inerrant on this app that I have. This, you know, this is not an alley, back alley library or dictionary. It's a quality dictionary. So I look up inerrant and it says free from error, infallible. But you probably can't see it. It'll use it in a sentence. Listen to the sentence. It is only the people that view certain holy books as inerrant that have a problem with good science education. I'm telling you, do you not think that we're under attack? Again, this isn't some book that's way out there. This is a main thing, and they're using it in a sentence. So for me, just randomly, I went because I wanted to, again, look and see the word inerrant. It's important. I want the goods. I want the truth. This is the inerrant truth. We're talking about the greatest command. I want the truth, the inerrant truth. And for those that are using this dictionary, they're saying, you know, you got what they're saying. So let's move ahead. Now, that tells me that Jesus is a threat to the religion of human achievement. And that's what last week's message was about. In a human term, I've achieved all this. Isn't that impressing you, Jesus? And Jesus says, no, because I see what's inside of this. I see what's in your heart. And you love your stuff more than you love the Savior. You're in love with your stuff. And because you're in love with your stuff, although you give a great resume, but because you love your stuff more than you love your Savior, you're going to go to hell. And so we look at loving God and loving others, and love is essential. It's above all other religious and ceremonial practices. The key is love. So there's a lot of do's and don'ts out there, but that does not necessarily mean that you love. Here's another important point. Someone may tell me with all sincerity and with great passion, Pastor, I am so in love with the Bible. I love the Word of God. Now, I like that. However, my question is, do you love God more than you love your Bible? You have to think about that. Do you love God? Are you in love with Him? Knowledge puffs up. Do you love God? Love builds up. Do you love Him? Do you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Again, that can be rather convicting when you think about it. Now, when Jesus is answering this question, and I just skipped one right there, but the Shema, that's an interesting word. And what happened is that there's a text out of Deuteronomy and the other text out of Leviticus. So in the Old Testament, Jesus draws about the love of God out of Deuteronomy, and he draws loving others out of Leviticus, and he merges them together in his answer. And even to this day, those in Israel, the Jewish people, they will recite the Shema, which is in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. What you see in this picture is something maybe some are familiar, but in a traditional Jewish home, you'll have this emblem on the doorway. It'll be there. And inside there on paper is this scripture, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it's on the doorway. Many times they'll touch that as they go into their house. So again, this is current. Here it is. Jesus refers back to Deuteronomy, to Moses. He's speaking about it during his ministry, and it's in play today for us as well. I love when we're thinking about the Lord and we're thinking about the love that He has for us. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about how much the Lord loves you? His loving kindness? How much He cares for you? I think all of us personally have a testimony, and I think it's a continual testimony of God's love coming upon us, his grace, his love, when we need it the most, when we're broken, when we're just feeling inside despair or hopeless or hurt or pain. And he, through his presence, is right there for us and with us. It is truly a great, great blessing. Even this morning, my wife has been dealing with a tooth problem, and it moved faster than she did. And so she's in severe pain, and it kind of kept going that way. Sunday mornings are a little bit different for myself. I get up pretty early, and when I went up to see her in the morning, she was just laying on the floor in the bathroom. It's just like, uh-oh, what's wrong? But the pain was so intense and whatever. So I had my daughter come over and take care of her, and she's actually getting taken care of right now, which is a good thing with a doctor. It's a good thing. But it's a difficult thing. You wake up and you see your wife and you don't know quite what things might be. You just have to call out to the Lord. I need your Lord. I need your love. I need this kind of love that we're talking about. So I'm using my iPad, but an email would come through, and it did, but you didn't see it. And it's actually my daughter that I just talked about that's with my wife. She just says, Happy Father's Day, which means she probably got a break in the action for a moment, and she's sending that through. How timely is that? We're talking about love. We're talking about a father's love. Couldn't have been choreographed any nicer than that. I was thinking about a song. This is a song by Harry Chapin, and it's called Cats in the Cradle. Some of you know that song. It's hard to get through that song. And it says, you know, my son turned 10 just the other day. He said, hey, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, no, not today. I got a lot to do. He says, oh, that's okay. And he walked away. But his smile never dimmed. And he says, I'm going to be like him. You know, I'm going to be like him. And boys want to be like their dad. They want to be like their dad. And we know as that song goes on, there was never that time at all. And it says, he came home from college just the other day. So much like a man, I had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? And later on, his life moves on, and there isn't any relationship. God is calling us to have a relationship with him, to have a relationship with others. It deals with the Father's love. We know in the prodigal got to a point where he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. The prodigal took full responsibility for the brokenness of the relationship. He took full responsibility. But what you see is a father responding, and he says to his son, I had great compassion. I ran. I fell on his neck. I kissed him. You see the initiation. And how can that be initiated by a dad who had been so taken advantage of? Because the dad's priorities never changed. He always and consistently loved God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, that when the time came, God had strengthened his heart to respond in such a wonderful way. So when we talk about love and you shall love, we realize that there are four main people in the New Testament: the Apostle John and Paul, Peter and James. And I went through their writings and their epistles, and they speak about love. They speak about loving God. They speak about loving others. We're talking about the greatest command today. We're talking about the Father's love. We're affirming that we're to love with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Some of us came from a very influential family that demonstrated godly love. Others not so. I am saying that the body of Christ, the church, the fellowship of believers, if we're moving and living in the way that God intended and glorifies him, we will experience the dynamic of agape love. God will measure out what may have been missing in our life. God is there for us. God will strengthen us. God will cause us to say, regardless of what happened, I'm not going to look back judgmentally or regrettably in many ways. I'm going to look forward and realize I can change. I can change today because of God's love for me. I can change in the relationships I have with my family. I can change in our relationship with the family of God. It can absolutely be different. We move ahead and we see, well, Pastor, that's great. How do you love God? How do you love others? And again, just a little personal thing, that one picture of us in 1992, I was actually petrified. It's probably the first few weeks we were meeting on Sunday night at a union hall across from Hardware Sales. There I am with my three girls and Pam, and we're having a Sunday night Bible study. We're asking God, would you be into us bringing the Bible study here, not having any existing church, not taking people from other churches, just, Lord, are there people in Bellingham that want to hear God's word, receive God's word, be built up? Are there people that are just away from you that you want to bring back? If you can use us, we'll start a Sunday night Bible study and leave it up to you. And so you're still a part of what we're doing. I'm thankful that you're here. But as you see, time progresses, our girls grow up, we have grandchildren, but it's the right priorities bring about the promised blessing. And you must say, where are your son-in-laws? That's a great question. We have prayed so much just for who the Lord would bring into our lives. I use this next picture by permission. We were so blessed to have Scott and Adam come join us. We have fun when we get together, and God has blessed us much more abundantly than any way that we could have ever imagined having these men in our life. Jamie met Scott, the blonde one, and in Russia at the Bible College, and Carly met Adam, the blonde one, at the Bible College in Marietta. And it's, again, what we're doing is we're building a case here in a very personal and practical way regarding love. Are you with me on that? The greatest commandment is love. There's a progress of how this works, but there has to be godly priorities. You have to hold to what God has set before us. The Lord doesn't look as a man does. The Lord, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So we're going to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. As you study heart, soul, mind, and strength, it really is loving with a complete package. So the complete package is all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the complete package. But let's unpack the package and let's look at heart, soul, mind, and strength individually as a part of this package together. When we look at the heart, that would be the emotions. Proverbs says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, David is a great example. David was a shepherd. He was called by God for great things in the future, but they did not unfold right away. What happened was David was a shepherd. He was taking care. He's being responsible. He was able to protect the sheep from lions and tigers and bears, oh my, or something like that, it tells us here. But literally, he fought them off. He had a relationship with God. He kept his heart with all diligence. So therefore, when the time came and he saw the injustice of Goliath against the people of Israel, he said, isn't there a cause we're standing up for? Isn't there a cause? Why are you leaving? Don't you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? I do. God wants to work. I believe he wants to work. He has my heart. And Daniel the same, but at a young age as well. When he was taken captive and brought into such an ungodly place, he says, I'm going to purpose in my heart to live for God. It was what he purposed. So it's in our heart. It's the emotion. It's what's there. I mean, many times we might say, don't you have a heart for it? In other words, do you have the emotion? Do you have what's inside? Are you just, you know, occupying space or time? Or is it like, no, I'm in. Count on me. I'm there. It's inside of me. This is how we should relate in the world as disciples of Jesus. this passion for the lost. Loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I've used this, but it's a great time to illustrate it again. And I just call this fella Joey Brill, but it wasn't his real name. It's a name we made up because with my daughters, we're reading through a series of books. There was a Henri fella in the book, and his name was Joey Brill. So as my daughters were young and were growing up, we would go out for breakfast one morning a week before school and just have a good time together. By the way, I've been doing it with my grandkids now for 3 years as they started school. We don't stop. You have priorities. You keep them going. Do you understand? Is this hitting in practical ways? So when we lived in the U District, we were at Dairy Queen. It's where we met, always in the morning by the windows. This fellow came on kind of a Stingray bicycle. He had a large screwdriver in a tote sort of a bag. He'd pull that screwdriver out. We'd be sitting in the windows. My girls would kind of scooch down below the window because it was so intimidating. He'd open up the newsstand and steal papers and then take off. So we started to pray for Joey Brill. This was a weekly habit. He was on time always. We'd be just finishing our breakfast meal. Here comes Joey. We kind of anticipated, but we were praying for him. Do you have a heart? Do you have passion for other people? So how can we reach Joey? Girls, he loves newspapers. Let's bring him a Bible. We'll set it out on the top. A nice one. I think we have him back. We'll put it there. A nice Bible. If he's ripping a paper off, he'll get the Bible. He left the Bible. We couldn't believe it. We says, well, what are you going to do, Dad? I says, I'm going to put some money in. I'm going to open it up, but I'm not going to take a paper. But I'm just going to give him money so I can open it up. I'm going to put some tracts. I got tracts, gospel tracts. You know what a gospel tract is? It has a message of how to know Jesus. Open up the paper, put it in, shut the paper down. Joey's going to take the paper. He's going to get the gospel. I mean, that's what we can do, right? Are you following me? You have a heart for the lost. Here comes Joey. Screwdriver out. Ducking below the window. Open it up. Newspaper. He takes the second one. Not the top one. A businessman follows and takes the top one. Drops the track out while he's going to his car. He picks up the track and he looks at it. He says, girls say, now what, Dad? We pray for the businessman. Evidently, the businessman needs Jesus more than Joey Brill. I says, girls, you want to follow Joey Brill someday before school? Let's do it. Let's get out in the car so when he steals the paper and he takes off, let's go figure out where he lives. You want to do that? Before school, Dad? Sure. Why not? It's my morning with you. So we followed him in the U District and then down some alleys. And then we found that he's homeless and he lived in a car. That's where he lived. And I used to go out on the streets on Fridays on the University Avenue and share Jesus Christ. And I met Joey Brill. And I talked to him. And I says, you come in the next time you come. I'll have a paper and breakfast for you. I came home. The girls got up on Saturday morning. I said, you'll never know who I met. I met Joey Brill. I talked to him. What's his real name? I says, his real name's Jamie. My daughter's Jamie. She says, no, we keep calling him Joy. His name's Joey Brill. I says, he's gonna join us. He's going to sit with us. Well, what we're going to do, he's going to come in. I'm going to buy him breakfast. And he'll be with himself. It's fine, girls. That's a little bit too much at that point. But we're able to do that and start to pray for him. Just believe how God would want to work in his life. What I'm saying is love. The greatest commandment is love. Where it's Father's Day. So we're talking in practical ways. How do we relate? Men, women, how do we relate? We're going to move on here because it talks about the soul. And with all your soul. So the soul would be the spirit. The spirit of a man in Proverbs 20:27 is the lamp of the Lord, searching the inner depths of his heart, Peter said, so here's the Spirit. Peter is going to love God with all of his heart, soul. But when he saw the holiness of God, he saw his own selfishness. The Spirit of God says inside of him, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Certainly the Lord restored him. But it's the Spirit of God working within our lives. God purifies us with our mind. That's our intellect. Isaiah says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And later on, if you had a chance, Psalm 8 would be a great blessing. And lastly, with the strength or with your will. I want to love God with all of my heart, my emotions, everything. I want to love you with my emotions. I want to love you, Lord, with my soul, my spirit, this relationship I have with you. I want to love you with my mind, the intellect, God's word. And I want to love you with my will, with the strength that you would provide for me. Joshua says, what does my Lord say to his servant? In Joshua 5, before they go into Jericho, he loves God with his heart, soul, mind, but he needs the strength of God to move ahead. Uh-oh, there is Kevin. Kevin is on the back of our high school student. Don't let that not discourage anybody from the bike trip, okay? It takes a lot of strength to love your youth leader. I just thought that was a clever and a cool picture if you look at that, because really, really, it's parents and it's leaders who are carrying the other ones growing up. And as we build these relationships with one another, as we strengthen one another, just the joy that there is in that. And when you realize that God is carrying us, God is the one that pays the freight for all of us. So therefore, we can say, not, you know, arrogantly, not pridefully, but as Paul would say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the challenge is, how am I going to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? He's going to provide the strength. Everyone needs the help of God. We all do. And therefore, another illustration is, how many of you have ever been to the Ballard Locks? Okay. How many ever leave Whatcom County? Okay, just kidding, just kidding. Ballard is down by the university area. It's a place, and it's free, so that may make it even better to go. But if you're not familiar, the locks are a kind of a canal that both doors close, and boats are in the middle. Because the water level of Lake Union, fresh water, is about 26 feet higher or so than Puget Sound salt water. And to make that transaction or transition, if you're coming up at the high, you have to come in, they're stationed there, and then the water is lowered out, the door opens, and then you're able to move ahead perfectly. The reason I have this illustration is because if we're going to succeed in loving God and loving others, there has to be a transition in our life. Let me just give an illustration. I could be coming home from a day of a lot of activities, and I know when I get home, there's probably some expectations my wife might have, good expectations, but she wants to be engaging talking and all of that. And quite frankly, I'm not right there right away by any means. And I've learned that I've got to take my heart, soul, mind, and strength to the locks. I've got to go to the locks. I've got to make some sort of transition between the world that I've been living in and a part of and actively involved in to this next one I'm going to. And if I just head in right away, it's not going to be a good situation. So the locks is a transition to get on that same level, either to drop down or to come up. It's a wonderful illustration, but if we're going to succeed doing this, we have to take this to heart. It's like when I drive home. I'll go on the Hannigan, and we're going into Linden, but there's the Nooksack River Bridge on the Hannigan just before you get into Linden. So when I go across that, I'm trying to be mindful as I'm playing this mind game to take the junk and just throw it over into the Nooksack River. Just a game, okay? Just a game. But I have you know, in the morning when I'm leaving, it's already on the bridge ready to throw it back to me. But still have to deal with things. You're lost. Let's keep going. Okay. Now, how are we going to do this? Are you ready to establish the right priorities of life? We may know and admire and confess the greatness and goodness of Jesus without forsaking. So we need to forsake the things of this world and be clear about following him. A couple of bullet points. You cannot give what you do not possess. So if you're not possessing the love of God, you're not going to succeed in demonstrating love. You're going to demonstrate human kindness, which is not the love of God. What you are will determine what you do. So, for example, the teachers in back this morning, I like who they are. They're men and women committed, and because of their commitment, what they do, it's there. It's not what's on your business card that identifies who you are. What you are will determine what you do. You think about that. Do you passionately love God? And do you passionately love others with everything, your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because Jesus says the kingdom of God, but you're still not in the kingdom. So before we move ahead, if you were to answer this question, if you were to die tonight and Jesus says, why should I let you into my heaven? If you would answer that sincerely and by no means making any wrong point here, just a right point. If you would answer like I did at one time, well, I'm hopeful that my good works do my bad works, so to speak. That's not the right answer. That answer won't get you into heaven. It's only because of what Jesus did for us. His death, burial, and resurrection for us gets us in. So you can be close, but not in. Now we're going to go fast here. Elijah says with this great question, how long will you falter between two opinions? If it's God, then serve God. So again, we want to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we're loving other things more than we love God, we're in trouble. We can't love others. So back to the personal in conclusion. I think the formative years really have never passed. In a sense, when you're growing up, and that's my family, my mom and dad, we had 9 brothers and sisters. So we had 5 of us. So I had 2 older sisters, me, 2 brothers. Mom was pregnant and had twin girls. Next year, pregnant, twin girls. So we had 4 girls just 1 school year apart. So if you can imagine the junior and senior prom, that means 4 people are walking out the door. Anyways, the formative years. I think as we continue to follow God, there is this formation of the Lord. Now, that's me and my dad, and I didn't realize why he was smiling so much until I got more his age, and I'm realizing he knows that I know nothing at all that I think I know at this point in my life. And he's just like there, like, no problem, son. It's just like an 18 and 19-year-old, arrogant, unsaved, unyielded to the Lord. But then, a few years later, there I am, at my wedding, cake in my mouth. It's happened other times, I want you to know. What I'm saying is, all of us came into this world, and we had influences as we were coming up, and here we are. What is this world going to be for me? What is it for me? You have family relations and things, but you have to be saved. We need to come to the Lord. My wife and I got saved just a few months before we got married in 1978. And I look at that picture and I think, you have absolutely no clue, dude. You don't know what you're doing, you know? And it's so true. You're just like, okay. But we trusted the Lord. We believed in Jesus. So there was this individual that grew up in East L.A., and now he's here getting married in Fort Collins, Colorado. All of a sudden, there's 3 more girls. And there they are. That's our family. And it's like, how did this happen? I mean, you're just, life is coming on and responsibilities. But you're staying with the Word of God. And then the picture you saw as we started the work. And we decided, let's move to Bellingham if God is in it. And if God would want us to demonstrate his love towards others, God, show us the way. Now there's 12 disciples. There's our family. So I'm saying progressively, we're talking about love, a commandment to love. We're called to love right now. As we love, our hearts begin to expand. In 1978, I wouldn't have the heart or the love in my heart for 12 people. But formative, God continues to build. He expands, and we're very blessed by that. And then it expands more. Now we're able to reach out. We're able to build up. We're able to send forth people. And then you see 3 generations of dads. Pastor Chuck there, we showed that last week. But what a great joy to understand that as a ministry, there are others that are men of faith that are influencing us. And there's people that you are influencing right now. You're influencing them with the love of God because you love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And finally, if the worship team can come up, we were landing into Bellingham a couple weeks ago, and I want you to know the Father's love for Whatcom County and the world. So what we're saying this morning, and let's all stand right now, but what we're saying is the Father's love. It's Father's Day. All of us need the love of the Father. There's wonderful purposes that he has for our lives. To know his love, to receive his love, to live in his love, be committed to his love. We can't do it without him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we are grateful today. Thank you for our fellowship. And we pray, God, that during this last worship song, it would be a song that it would engage our heart. That is our emotions. We love you, Lord. We want to express our love to you. Our spirit would jump inside, realizing we're born again. We're heaven bound. We've got earthly purposes here. And to understand, Lord, all of our heart, soul, mind, thank you for your word that you've been bringing to us in our strength. In our weakness, we are strong because of you. Let's worship this last.